The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, episode 208. You're here with John and Michael. It's the OGs. Sorry, dude. My brain's still broken from your visit to New York this past weekend. Michael, flight this morning back in Columbus, has a nice new hat on that he got in New York at Saturday's football. We are still on the mend, I would say.
Look at this. Absolute fire hat.
It's a good shout. It's a good hat. It's a good store. Saturdays is a good brand. How are you feeling?
I can't wait to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I was on the plane, and I was like, you know when you feel like you've been sleeping for a while on the plane, but you haven't, and you just keep doing mm-hmm. that, like, just keep, like, waking up.
You're snapbacking.
Yeah, I was doing that. I used all my energy that I got from, you know, 6 hours of sleep to get to the airport, get through everything, get on the plane, and now, like, the bed is down the hall. I just want to go to sleep.
Too close.
Yeah.
It's too close for you not to be able to jump in it. And then your brother texted you and said, hey, I'm going to the Rangers-Pens game tonight. We got to do the pod during the day. And you're like, oh, damn it.
But that's fine, because I can just, after this is over, I'm just going to literally walk, fall, and then I don't know when I'm going to get up.
Love it. Love it. So, also, congrats, hopefully early congrats of you passing your test. Hopefully.
Yes. Yes.
Fingers crossed. Hope.
Please, God, don't do it again.
I don't want to be a part-time podcaster.
Please,
anyway,
no.
So Michael was in town. We were supposed to go check out the Liverpool match at 11th Street Bar in the East Village. Let me tell you folks something. We watched the Liverpool and we watched the City game back-to-back, basically in a cave of our own makings in my apartment. The family room light was not on for either game. We did let Ian down, our good friend. He was out drinking with us the night before, though, too, so he should have been hungover. I'm sure he got the text from me, and he was like, we're not going, right? And I was like, no. And he goes, thank Christ.
I hope that's what he thought inside.
Yeah, he also would have said, thank Yahweh. Ian's a Jewish boy. But, yeah, we ended up doing that, but we had a great weekend. So let's actually break it down. We got to watch both these games together. I think we forgot what it's like to watch games together. Big week. I don't want to do Dudes of the Week. Kind of over it. Don't want to do it this week, but I do want to open the floor to you because while you were in New York, we did have a bit of a conversation about Liverpool's next step managerial-wise. And I would love to get your take. I'll tell you what I was listening to today on the Athletic podcast, but Xabi Alonso staying at Leverkusen, which we would have all assumed was the leader in the clubhouse for sure.
Yeah, I think we said when that news broke, it was first reported, and then he came out and said that he confirmed he was staying. Can't be mad at it at all. I think it was the one decision that everybody would just be like, gotta respect it if he's gonna stay there another year, another 2 years, whatever. It does put us, obviously, because he was, you know, the guy, the front runner, puts us in a tough situation because I think you still want him eventually. You know, mm-hmm. you hope that he kind of turns into that type of manager for you. So then, you know, what do you do for a year if he's gonna stay there a year? Maybe it's two. Two might be easier. I also think that that way of thinking is very, it's very, like, strictly to, like, a Liverpool fan or a City fan because we've had Pep and Klopp for 7-8 years. And, like, I don't know what the average lifespan of a manager in the Prem is. It's not very long, though. So it's more likely probably that we hire somebody that doesn't make it, you know, 3 years, 4 years, and then we miss out or something like that. So I really don't know. We were just talking. I don't know who the next guy is. I know the guy from Sporting. I think it's like Amiron or something like that. I haven't even been able to look He looks exciting. Like, he looks like he could be a good guy, good manager. But I truthfully have not been able to dive into it at all and see the speculation. I know DeZerbi is obviously another one, too, especially after the match this week. I don't know if it's for a good reason. He's just kind of, like, lost some stock in my brain.
Yeah.
Brighton season. And, again, they had Europe. They had a bunch of other stuff that was going on. They lost players. Still, like, a really, really good year for them. So I don't know why I'm being so hard on him.
Always a solid analysis when a Mackay future Pfeiffer can't be mad comment is thrown out there from 8 Mile.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was listening to the Athletics pod about it today. We're recording this on Monday. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the games this past weekend and then the preview for the matches that will be happening tomorrow. So it'll come out that day, same day. But the names that they threw out, you hit the Zerbi, that's correct. The Amiron guy from Sporting was definitely one of the options too. They mentioned Stuttgart's manager because they're in, I think, third or fourth right now. His last name's Hoeness, spelled exactly how you would think, Hoeness. But they did say it's like he would have so much more plaudits, so much more media attention if not for Xabi this year. But I do agree, like, if the guy wants to stay and wants to keep building what he built in just year two at, you know, Leverkusen, hats off. I can't be mad about that at all. Right. And I think that there's enough of a example been set before where it's like Lampard or even Stevie G, where it's like prior players see people move up way too quick and it's just a failure. I mean, you could kind of say it's all been a failure minus Stevie G's stint at Rangers, essentially.
Kind of hard to fail at Rangers, though. Like,
second is failure.
Yeah, but they also were like went pretty deep in Europe. They won there, but I agree, like, losing to Celtic is obviously not good, but I think there's more, the run at Aston Villa is more telling than the run at Rangers for him.
For sure. So Tuchel's name's always thrown out there, too. I'm assuming no for you, dog.
Please, God, no. I can't stand Thomas Tuchel.
Obviously, the assistant Pep Linders was thrown out, too, but there's been more of, like, he's already looking where he wants to go next.
Yeah, he will not take that job.
I think he's looking at IX, so.
Sick.
Yeah, that'd be a great pickup. No prediction from you yet, though. You got to dive in a little bit deeper.
Yeah, I would say the Celtic manager, too, has been thrown around a little bit. If it was a year before and it was Postecoglou, then I'd be all about it.
Yeah.
I'd be all about it. But, Amorim, he's the guy I keep seeing. So, and I've seen some people talk about him very positively.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that is going to be, like, people thinking, like, you're going to get somebody and it's going to be, like, okay, he's a little bit different than Klopp, but, like, he still does a lot of the same things. He's not going to do, it's going to be completely different. And I think that's what people have to understand.
Yeah.
Even with Xabi, who everyone was like, oh my God, it would be amazing if he showed up and became the coach and everything. It would not be, he's not going to be fist bumping. He's not going to be doing all this shit. Like, you're really just going to have to, I think the best thing to do is just sit there and whoever it is, learn about him when they get announced and then be like, okay, well, these are my expectations. I don't want to get all hyped up about people I haven't watched any Sporting games. I haven't watched Celtic really that much. I've watched them more than Sporting, though, to be fair. So I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see.
If you want to start your research this weekend, it's a great weekend to do it. Sporting's in first. They're on top of Benfica by 1 point, and they play Benfica this weekend.
There you go. Have to catch
so
that.
if you want to start doing your scouting report into Amorim, you go ahead and do that this weekend.
My lizard brain right now, who has done nothing, is like, I'd take Gary O'Neill right now. If you could promise me Gary O'Neill.
Well, you did say
like pretty good.
If you had to pick one coach in the Premier League, and the The video right there went totally haywire. If you had to pick one coach in the Premier League, who would it be? That's not like a Pep. You're not getting Pep. You're not getting, you know.
Postecoglou.
You take Postecoglou?
Oh, yeah. I think he is the most, as a person, too, like,
aligned.
Klopp-esque.
A Liverpool fan growing up, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah, and I yes, and I also just respect the, this is how we're going to play, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. And I know that is annoying to some people, and I can understand why for sure, but that is 100% the philosophy that I would subscribe to.
Yeah. No Iraola.
I like Iraola. I just, no, I want him to.
You like Craig better?
Yeah. I think they got something going there. Just,
yeah. Don't leave.
Don't leave. Don't leave the cherries. Come on, man.
Yeah, I feel it. All right. Well, that's obviously going to be the dominant soccer news focus for this summer outside of, you know, who's getting fucked financial fair play-wise and who broke the law and who did whatever. Let's go ahead. We're going to dive in. Probably be a quicker ep this week. We're going to go through these games. We're going to give our predictions for the midweek matches that will be happening same day if you're listening to this when it comes out. And we'll talk, obviously, the biggest 0-0 draw of all time between Arsenal and Man City. But Michael, first things first, we started our week off watching some footy together with a Newcastle United 4-3 win over West Ham. Isak in the 6th minute opened the scoring. Mikel Antonio in the 21st. Kudus, right before halftime, takes West Ham up 2-1. Right after halftime, Bowen in the 48th made it 3-1. And the clawback by Newcastle started with a 77th minute pen again from Isak. And then a brace from Harvey Barnes in the 83rd and 90th. Thoughts?
So, it was, I think it was Rebecca Lua who said this. That if you were, international break just happened, you're getting right back to the Prem. This is the game that is the first game on that you watch. Like, incredible.
Bought back in. Yeah.
Yeah, such an unreal, such a fun game. The only thing, God, there's so many stoppages in this game. Everyone was getting hurt. Everybody was, you know, falling over, dying. Like, Jamal Lascelles, like, went out early. There's 10 minutes in the first half and then 8 in the second. The biggest point, there's obviously two pens for Newcastle in this. Both of them won by Anthony Gordon, who had a great game. I hate the guys getting ready to kick the ball, like the defenders getting ready to kick the ball out or pass it out or do whatever, and you just jump in front of him and get kicked and you don't touch the ball at all. If you were jumping in front, hitting the ball with your toe just to get it away from him and then you get kicked, I don't have this opinion, but if you're just like establishing you being in front of the ball or in front of the player and you just get absolutely fucking laid out by his like swinging foot, I think it's like a cheap penalty. And I will say, like, it has been a pretty consistent call this year, so I'm not like upset about it overall, but I just think it's like kind of a lame pen, yeah, to be honest. But again, you have to put yourself in the situation. So, like, he did that twice, and they didn't catch on. They just kept kicking.
Yep. Totally get it. Two main stats I want to point out, and then we'll move on. One, I said Harvey Barnes brace. It was a brace that he scored as a sub. Came on in the 67th minute, so pretty good game for him. Again, if Newcastle was just a little deeper, this is a team that is back in the hunt, maybe 5-6-4, somewhere around there. The other statistic that pains me to point out is Calvin Phillips enters the game in the 69th minute when West Ham's up 3-1 and they lose 4-3.
Yeah, he's been horrible.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. I think there needs to be like a confident shakeup and just human to human. Really hope that he figures it out because he seems like a really, really nice dude. Good guy, Greg. Just can't get the job done right now.
Yeah, Pep couldn't stop apologizing to him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
Over and over.
It's bad. All right, we talked about Iraola. You told him to stay at Bournemouth. You got a 2-1 win over Everton. Solanke in the 64th. Beto ties it up in the 87th. And then Seamus Coleman who's been a great steward for Everton for a long time, usually just locked down, chests a ball into his own goal to give Bournemouth the dub. Big win for the Cherries. They continue to create separation from them and any team looking to get pulled into the relegation scrap. They're at 38th now. Everton stink still.
Yeah, do you remember, it was way back, but remember I said Calvert-Lewin was coming back from injury and I said, it doesn't matter, he's going to get hurt like in the next five games and not contribute at all. I was only half right because he hasn't been hurt. He's played 25 games, mm-hmm. but he hasn't contributed anything.
Mm-mm.
Like 3 goals and an assist, I'm pretty sure, this year. Everyone makes fun of Beto, but like Beto is out there like running around, like he's putting forth 100% effort. Scored in this game, obviously. I think it would be in bad taste if I didn't point out as well, man of the match on Fought Mob in this one's Tyler Adams. Shout out to the American. I know Dylan and Nick aren't here. They're the big America guys, but just have to shout out our boy.
Yep.
Coming off a big international break with a big goal.
I will say this, did not happen how I said it, much like your DCL prediction, but I did say Cherries win because Tyler Adams gets the last minute winner. He didn't get a winner, but he did play a big role in it. So,
yes,
happy to see that, obviously, as an American and watching the Cherries.
And also, we have to just keep every time, because we never know when stuff's going to get hurt or picked up. Dominic Solanke still tied for second in Golden Boot. Not good enough for any of these other big teams, though, I guess.
Yeah. Not good enough for these other big teams. And they have a point because the only person that he's behind is a League Two player. So, it's tough out there for Solanke. Great for Bournemouth because he's not getting any attention to have to leave. But you've heard it here so many times on this pod, and I'm going to continue to say it. He's one of the best strikers in the Premier League and should have the respect.
I think him and the other guy that I'm sure we'll talk about are like two players who I think do so much more than just score goals, and everyone just seems to think that they wouldn't be able to translate, and I just think it's ridiculous. So
who's the other guy?
Ollie Watkins.
Oh. Yeah. You're right.
But the thing with him is like it's we don't need three strikers. Harry Kane and Tony go, and I'm like, what more does Ollie Watkins have to do to like solidify himself as like one of the best players, one of the best English players, for example?
Yeah,
and I just think there's a little bit of a no respect for him.
Not incorrect. All right, Chelsea 2, Burnley 2. Look, you're gonna get John lashing out on this episode. You got a Cole Palmer goal penalty in the 44th minute, giving Chelsea the lead. Burnley answer right back in the 47th. Palmer doubles up in the 78th. And then 3 minutes later, again, Burnley tie it up. This was a Burnley team that was down to 10 men as early as the 43rd or 40th minute.
And
Chelsea. And no coach. Some may argue for Burnley that might have been a positive, and you know how much I love Vinny. But some may say that's a positive. But Chelsea cannot get the job done. Pathetic. Disgusting.
I'm sorry. This 4.26 XG for Chelsea, obviously, they were peppering. They didn't obviously get the job done. In fact, they lost position two times, up a man, essentially.
Yep.
To me, now that I saw the quote from Poch after, where if you look at the numbers, if you look at the statistics, we should be in fourth. I get it. I've always felt a little bit bad for him because I think just the club is a disaster, is toxic, is all these things. You can't have somebody saying that on your behalf. I mean, not.
Poch, why play the games?
Yeah. I actually also went on the plane because I saw that. I went on Fought Mob and I went individually, like by team stats, and just looked at where they were and everything. I don't know how, even like XG created and stuff like that, like I don't know what he's talking about. I have no clue what he's talking about.
It's a special kind of spin I'll tell you that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, and like I said, you're going to get lash out, John, because I'm pretty disappointed with how we played yesterday. Last year, you let Gabby go, you let Zinchenko go. People were making the joke that, City are going to give two players to Arsenal that are going to have an impact on their season. They're going to end up losing to them, whatever. Chelsea obviously not going to play any type of impact on any important matches for the rest of this year. But Cole Palmer...
Don't say that. You play them in the FA Cup semifinal.
Cool.
I'm just saying.
Cole Palmer would have loved to keep him in retrospect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's the other thing, too, that I
would have played. I'm just going to say would have played, too.
Yes. The other thing, too, I don't think was good to say, but probably is more true than, well, definitely is more true than what Poch said about being in fourth, was he admits that a lot of the players, when they don't know what to do, they just pass the ball to Cole Palmer. Which is like, it's obvious. One, I don't think you should admit that because it's just like a really bad thing to say. But it's obvious. I mean, he is
as the coach. As the coach, probably not something you want to have leak.
Hey, yeah. Hey guys, you know how we work on tactics? We don't have any European football. We don't have anything. We practice all week. We do all these things. I love that it can so easily be broken down to the point where you just pass to one guy.
Yeah. Yeah, also hilarious.
Very good coach.
Hilarious that Palmer is the Cristiano Ronaldo to Man United 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever it is, for Chelsea right now.
Yeah.
Insanity. Yeah.
Hey, and again, good player.
Might be actually a really great player. You never know, yeah. But like a little early for that to be his role. Shout out to him though. You know, bet on himself. Palace 1-1 shares the points with Forest. Chris Wood, I don't even know why. I was looking at the Mateta goal in the 11th minute, and I was like, no, let me talk about the 61st minute goal. Mateta in the 11th gave Palace a lead, Chris Wood in the 61st. Honestly, I guess this helps Palace, or Nottingham Forest pull themselves out of relegation, but this match should have just been simulated on FIFA so that we didn't have to get anyone injured. No one gave a shit. Like, these two teams are so frustrating and whatever right now.
Yeah, because I guess when we're in this period of time, I always look at the bottom teams, and I'm kind of thinking, you know, we got to see some fight. We got to see something from you. Like, this is where they're going to pick some points up because it's like do or die. And I guess Palace are, they're not really there anymore. They're 8 points clear of 17th. I'm just disappointed in, I thought Nottingham Forest were going to be a lot better. To be honest.
Same.
And not like 10th, 9th, 8th better, but just better than 22 points. And I know they have a 4-point deduction. Better than 26 points, for sure. And they're just not in this game. This was essentially a 0-0 that was a 1-1. We don't talk about those.
American Spin. Gio touches the pitch. 1 minute later, they score. American Spin. Hey,
there you go. Him and Richards were fighting it out on a couple corners, too. So, nice to see some, like, tomfoolery, some good, clean fun going on.
Love to see it. Every bottom team did get a point this week. Sheffield United 3, Fulham 3. You have a Diaz goal in the 58th to be tied up by Polina in the 62nd. Another Diaz goal McBurney in the 68th. Gave Sheffield the lead again, 2-1. Sheffield go up 3-1. With the second Diaz goal in the 70th, Bobby De Cordova Reed in the 86th, and then Munez in the 90+3. Share the points. Again, I think Fulham's in autopilot right now. They're more worried about the pool that is going to be opened on the rooftop of their stadium. The one thing that Naftapod does have to do is shout out Adama Traore with the assist, 63rd minute.
Shout out to him. Also, Adama Traore assist. 63rd minute.
That's when he went on. My bad.
Oh, 93rd.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. The brain is functioning at maybe 20% right now.
I was like, oh shit, he got two. Dude, Muniz as well, like, he kind of, we said preseason, the whole Mitrovic thing was going on, like, how are they going to get some goals? And, like, until he came in, they were kind of coming from everywhere, but he seemed like he's a pretty consistent goal scorer for them. this is what I would consider, like, I can't ever pick Sheffield because I just never know what I'm going to get. But, like, this was that fight, I guess, that you would expect. Too bad that it's, like, so far past the point of, like,
too
ever
little.
Mattering.
Yeah, too yeah. little. So, like, also the consistency of Fulham to beat Tottenham 3-0, go into international break and draw the basement team 3-3.
Yes.
Kind of wild.
So we also play Sheffield United this, like, Thursday or whatever it is, or Wednesday. And I had the graphic on TV, and Morgan said, who is that guy that's plays for Sheffield that, like, Mo Salah was standing next to? And I was like, that's Ben Brereton Diaz. And she said, he has a weird face. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Oh, okay. He's Chilean.
I would have never guessed that.
Well, I'm looking at FOTMOP. He looks like a hockey player.
He does. He looks like a Canadian hockey player.
Yeah, he's like the backup left wing for the Nashville Predators. That's what this man looks like. Full-on hockey player, just playing football. He's a left winger for Sheffield. Cool. Like, I don't know if weird face. I mean, Morgan, your girlfriend definitely has her opinions on the look of people in the footballing world, which I guess she's open to have. But 2 goals and an assist, man of the match, let the man cook, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was anything to do with his ability. She just said he had a weird face.
Damn. Morgan,
yeah,
shout out to you.
She's ruthless. She's a ruthless man. Also, just to correct you, Luton didn't get a point this week, so.
Ah, you're right. Sorry about that. Last thing I had. Referee for this match. You know what his name is?
No, who?
Tim Robinson.
Stop.
So now I pictured the pool up on the roof and the referee just ziplining into the pool for the entire match instead of doing it. Anyway,
Classic. Sorry.
Again, Classic. 20% of brain being used right now. Speaking of Luton, they did lose to Tottenham. It was Chong in the 3rd minute that gave them an early lead. Kabore in the 51st had an own goal, and then Sonny closes it out to give Tottenham all 3 points in the 86th minute. This is Tottenham for you, too. In 5th place, 56 points, 8 clear of United, 3 points behind Villa, which I kind of think that they're going to catch them. They got a game in hand as well. I think Tottenham's going to be able to catch them, but just wildly inconsistent.
Always.
Wild.
Always. That, it's like, even Villa to a degree is kind of inconsistent, but like 5th to where Fulham are is just like, you never know what you're going to get.
5 to 12.
Yes, that's a lot of teams. It's yes. many yeah. teams.
Yeah, I totally agree. But win for Tottenham, and that's all you can ask for. That's really all to speak about. Villa, the Midlands derby that we talked about against Wolves, 2-0 win. They are a better team than Wolves. We've known this. Diaby in the 36th, Konsa in the 65th. Wolves put up a fight. The battle for the 4th place in the Champions League, I do think, will be really interesting. I don't know. And again, City has Villa midweek this week. I'm hoping they fall off a little bit. The Villa game we played against them was fucking disgusting as well, as they say. But these are games that Unai has kind of shown that they're going to win. And you know, they got LXG. Wolves are putting up a fight. These are two really, really good coaches going at each other is kind of all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Like, we saw that flash of Aston Villa for, like, 5 or 6 games where they were just, you know, couldn't touch them. They're unbelievable. You have to remember, first game of the year, they got smacked by Newcastle. And they, you know, they weren't horrible or anything, but they got beat. It's just one of those things where we can't, we have to take, like, see the full picture. We can't just, like, wow, how could they be getting outplayed by Wolves? How can they lose to whoever else they've lost to? They've beaten Arsenal and they've beaten Man City. Dude, they're still, like, figuring it out. Like, it's not always you beat the teams you should and you don't the other ones, because then the Premier League would be so predictable it would hurt. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, this, I texted Dylan, I was like, you guys are, like, looks like you guys are putting up a pretty good fight, because we weren't watching this game specifically. And then I just saw the 2-0, and I was kind of like, well, you know, that's why they are where they are right now in 4th.
Both projects incomplete, like you just said. I think that there's a lot more parts at Villa and those parts are gelling faster than we would have expected. Wolves are still on the search for the parts, I think. Like, yep.
They have parts out. They have
yeah.
players coming in that I don't know who the hell they are.
Yep.
And they're still figuring out a way to fight, too, which is always important.
Yeah, I totally agree. Other Tucker brother, Brentford, 1. Man United, 1. Mason Mount, 90+6. They thought they won it. They thought it was over. It wasn't. 90+9. Ayer ties it up. And no one's shocked. At least no one that we were with.
So, thank you for saying it exactly how you just did, because Nick sent us a video of Gary Neville talking about this game. And Gary Neville, and he said, this is my take. You can clip it and this is my take. So, I hope, you know, Nick will obviously correct us if this is not what he means. But Gary Neville was saying, essentially, he thought that they would compete more to get into the top four. He thought that there would be more fight, more, you know, a desire to be that team and to like push for that fourth spot and into the Champions League. I don't know where evidence of that would have come from. Apart from if you're strictly going off the back of beating Liverpool in the FA Cup. But again, we've seen them win big games when they came from behind and beat Aston Villa, and it was always the same thing. It's like, you can get these big wins, but it's the two or three games after where you have to keep the momentum, and they never do.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where that came from, because Brentford pumped them. And we were at the bar watching this game. Half of it I was conscious for. The other half I was like slowly, and then very fastly, quickly falling into like full inebriation.
The underground. Yeah.
Yes. I saw, I was so deep in the upside down. I was watching it and I didn't see, I was telling the kid that was a United fan next to us. I was like, I haven't seen the ball in Brentford's half of the field. Like, with you guys on the attack. And he was, you know, I know, we look terrible, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then when Mount scores that goal, it's like, all is forgiven. We didn't just give up 31 shots to Brentford. And then Tony comes down, back pass, goal. And it's all like, okay, now I'm back to reality.
So it was Ten Hag, right, that said this, that it's hard to beat a low block?
No, it was Mark Goldbridge on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
He was essentially talking about until like Ineos and the investment comes in and all this stuff. It's always going to be difficult for Man United to beat a low block. And somebody commented and said, quote, low block, they had 31 shots. Like, they were not just bunker down. They were, you guys were, if anything, United were more so low blocking.
Yeah. I think we've said this before. I think that soccer media, or people that have podcasts, or people that want to put their voice out there, are very hesitant to say what I'm about to say because of the history of Man United. I don't think this club, I don't think this team, I don't think these players matter to the Premier League. I if you want to talk dollars and cents to the Premier League making money year on year, sure, they do. They always will.
Mm-hmm.
But competitively speaking, talking points, goals, wins, differential, whatever the hell, this team doesn't matter. This is a mid, not even a good mid-table team. This is just a mid-table team.
Yeah, this year, and we're going to shout out, JLA, James Lawrence Alcott, where he was talking about kind of not specifically like a luck factor, but like there have been some results just where they have gotten like all the points where they have not even been close to the best team. And again, I think that when you are a team who is performing well and you have like stumbles, it's important that, you know, in those games where you're not at your best, you get points, but it can't be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of been a lot this year where, I almost think that it would be better for them if they just completely failed so that they could just know we don't need these these guys. We need other players. We need to get rid of these players. Because I always think that they're always right on the line of, if we just did a little bit better, you know, this would be solved. We'd be in Champions League. We'd do all this other stuff. So then that makes them keep guys that they just don't need and aren't going to be there in the future, and hold on to people like Martial and hold on to people like Bruno Fernandes past when he's going to be, you know, as impactful as he has been previously.
You play 38 games in the Premier League. It's obviously different than college football, but I look at Manchester United as Tennessee. It's a club that when Peyton Manning was there and they won a national title, they were the talk of the town, et cetera, et cetera. There's probably better comparisons just because Tennessee doesn't have like the deep history of winning that United do. But now it's like every season, they start the season off decent. They have a player that is newer to the scene that they get to put in front of the camera and talk about how great they are. They get a big match against someone. They don't win. Then you talk about, oh, is it a mirage, which it ends up being, because later in the year, they get dog-walked by Mississippi State and by, like, Vanderbilt or some shit. And it's just, we should have known what they were the entire time. Unimportant, and just a team that does not matter to the grand scheme of the season this year. They're not going to matter.
Yeah, the other thing, too, where I know I've had this conversation with Nick specifically, but not, like, in depth or whatever, you can always find a stat that makes it look worse than it is, and I agree with that in most cases, right? 31 shots, okay. Well, okay, 31 shots from where? Are they taking them outside the 18? Like, what are these, the XG of these shots? So, totally fine. We'll talk about, like, the quality of the chance, right? Because 5 and 5 shots on target for each team.
I know the stat you're going to pull out.
3.29 XG for Brentford. And then what was United's? 0.59.
Damn, I didn't know the stat you're going to pull out. I have a different one.
Okay, so even if you're, we can go, you can look at just the shots, you can look at the XG, you can look at shots on target. Like, you, they're still not even creating the better chances than these teams that they have way more money than, way better players than, all this stuff. And again, I don't think Ten Hag is in the best situation at that club, 100%. I don't think those players are at the best situation they could be in, but
for sure,
he has an impact. And if you just keep making excuses for all these people, you know, you're not going to get anywhere.
Brentford had 81 touches in the Man United box. Brentford had half as many touches in the Man United box than Arsenal had in, like, passes in most of the match up until like the 75th minute. Remember we saw that stat too? Like,
yeah.
Insane. Insane. Yes. All right. Like I said, I think that they're not important, so I kind of want to move on. But
we
it's
got
just...
We got them at the weekend. It's all right. We'll fucking lose this game. I know it'll happen.
And then they're back. Yeah. Speaking of you guys, Liverpool 2-1 win over Brighton. It was a second minute goal from Welbeck, which I'm sure Michael didn't see because I think you were still battling the hangover at that point.
Dead asleep.
Michael was still
dead asleep.
He's fighting a Demogorgon in his brain. Luis Diaz in the 27th, and then Salah with the winner in the 65th. Always a game that's tough. De Zerbi's a tough coach to go against until he's not. But important win for you guys, because guess what? Now you're clear in first place.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to summarize Brighton, where, like, you don't know until the game has, like, went 15 minutes, like, which Brighton team you're going to get. And 2 minutes in, it looked like we were fucked, I'm sure, to a lot of people. And my friend Zach texted me, and he just said, welcome back, like, after 2 minutes. And I was like, nice. But I will say, like, that whole second half, from, like, the 35th, 40th minute on, it really looked... There were a couple moments where, you know, they were pretty close. But it always looked like we could turn it up and get another goal if we absolutely had to win that game. So I thought it was an overall pretty good performance. I think McAllister has absolutely taken it to another level. I think past, like, 5 or 6 games, he's been unreal. Endo, I think, has been very good. The defense is fine. Connor Bradley, like, actually just looks like a very good Premier League right back now and not just incredible for being, like, 19 or 20 years old coming in. So, again, it's very... I think it's kind of the cop philosophy too, like that next man up, and you know, you can't really complain with the injuries that we've had with the people coming in, that they've all done like a very, very good job. So I'm very happy, because typically after a national break, we kind of fumble the bag immediately.
Yeah. I think it's a fair assessment to talk about how under the radar, but a great job the midfield overhaul was.
Yeah.
Endo.
I think Endo was, I mean, if you're going per dollar,
yeah,
it's pretty tough to beat. It's like 17 mil, and he's been outrageous. It actually makes the Szoboszlai signing look like bad, because he was the most expensive, and I think there is absolutely like levels that we haven't even seen to like what he is and like what he could become. He's still very young. We've seen glimpses of him. He's been a little bit inconsistent, but again, he's been hurt a couple times. But like McAllister is that slow burn where in the beginning we were having him basically play as a six, and then we were like, okay, now you're going to play as a six and an eight, basically, and you're just going to make sure you do all the defending and try to get forward. And now since Endo's been good and he can kind of move up the pitch a little bit more, he's been, you know, every penny worth of 35 mil. So,
yeah.
I think it's nice to watch, too, as opposed to Henderson running around and Milner getting in there and whoever else.
True.
Fabinho, last year especially.
I don't know the stat, and I could be totally wrong, but I have to assume you're not at that many games of all three of these guys being on the field at one point, either with each other. And the more that that happens, the better they're going to be.
For sure.
All right, we've belabored it enough. We don't talk about nil-nils, and honestly, there isn't much to talk about in this damn game. Michael and I deemed it maybe the most boring top-of-the-table match ever. City nil, Arsenal nil. Man, what a way. A good thing that we were hungover.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I haven't looked at FOTMA, but I was like looking at other stuff. I'm shocked it gave you guys one XG.
Like the 1.02.
It has to mostly be from the Ake one, right?
I think the Ake one probably was like 0.4.
Yeah, this game was fucking miserable to watch.
Yeah. 618 accurate passes to 191. City had 75% possession. 72%, sorry. Again, I'm lashing out. I think the funniest thing was Odegaard and Arteta coming out pregame being like, we're going to go for it. We're going to go for it. And come on, dude. But I'm being nitpicky because my team couldn't create anything. One of the worst games, didn't play awful, but one of the worst games I've seen De Bruyne play in a minute.
Looked bad.
You got to see behind the curtain and what I yell at Kovacic most weeks. And, you know, kept waiting for Foden to continue the form, and it was just really hard for him to get some separation on that right side. I will say Arsenal defend very well, I think, and the Saliba-Gabriel partnership needs to kind of be shouted out, giving up zero goals to Erling Haaland when they both play. He's a League 2 player, but still.
So, first off, if we're gonna go in order of players that were bad in this game, I thought De Bruyne just didn't look himself, and that's like, he's obviously unbelievable. He wasn't unbelievable, so like I can't really be super upset about him there. I actually thought Gvardiol by the end of the game looked good. Like, he was basically playing a center attack and mid.
Yeah, he was like, is he a cam? What is this?
I was like, what's going on? I mean, he's definitely not a left back, but maybe a cam. So he was good. I thought Haaland was horrible. I think it's very tough, very hard for you guys to get him the ball in a way where he can do something with it. Because I don't know what he needs to do. Probably needs to, like overhaul a little bit of like his game, because he can't hold the ball up very well.
That's a very nice way of saying like it'd be nice for him to add a second dimension.
Yeah, and
or like a third option.
And the thing that I actually saw that I agree with too is like, it's not going to get any better because people are going to play him like this at City. Like, he's going to have to figure out how to maneuver in that. Look,
it's hard to be this critical a year after you win a treble. If we look back to every season that Pep's been at City, including his first season where we finished third, mm-hmm. I think this is the worst coaching job he's done in a season.
Maybe.
I think that, like, I'm looking at the unused subs, and I don't know why Julian...
You guys never sub.
But this is such an important game. Julian Alvarez not getting on the field, getting on the pitch, when we literally need a point-blank shooter out there, I think is crazy.
I totally agree with you. The only thing I would say is, like, I can't keep being mad about something that Pep never does. Because he doesn't. He has the second lowest sub rate in the Prem.
Fair.
So West Ham is first, and you guys are second. I actually just saw a video about it. But to continue with the poor players, and I know you might disagree with me on this one. I think Jesus is so overrated. I don't know what he does.
Gabby?
Really? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not our Lord and Savior.
Key overrated though, but that's a different pile for a different day.
Yeah, the the Brazilian Jesus. I think Martinelli was hurt a little bit, so maybe that's why he got the pick. I would still put Trossard over him, to be honest. Yeah. And then I can't believe, I think on social media people are talking about it, but not like in any, you know, media that about the game or anything like that. Saka was horrible. Saka basically didn't show up to play. And again, I'm not totally saying it's his fault because he is one person that you cannot criticize a lot of the time. He's an excellent player. I just want to put that out there before I say anything more. He's great. Fantastic. I love him. He's a good guy. Could have been a lot to do with how you guys were defending and how you guys were playing and shuttling them as well. But I forgot he was in the game, truthfully. I saw Odegaard doing stuff, and at times I saw Odegaard losing the ball, but I always saw him getting the ball, picking it up, trying to drive, doing stuff. I didn't see Saka at all.
I was going to say, the three players that got them in some dangerous positions were Odegaard, Havertz, and Rice. Declan Rice. And, like, that's coming from... I mean, Jorginho was back there, so he's not playing the, you know, CDM.
We forgot he existed, too.
He came off the pitch, and I was like, I didn't know he was in this game. Like, I was like, what the hell?
I was like, oh, shit.
The thing that I will say is, when you have Bernardo and you have Foden on your wings, for us traditionally, it feels like we're going to have the ball out wide, but we're actually going to attack in like the center lanes. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think this game might have gone a little bit different for us if we would have had the Doku Grealish wings out earlier, because if we don't win the game and we're taking on White and Kiwior, I always say his last name wrong.
Kiwior.
If we're taking them on one-on-one and they're just beating us, I think I can live with that. I'm like, I get that game plan. But we just didn't do that.
Hey, do you have any insight about what the fuck Pep was yelling at Jack Grealish about?
No.
Did you see the video?
I did.
Oh, dude.
I did see also that Haaland and Gabriel got into it after, and he had to break that up too. So
I think they were more... Because after he broke it up the first time, they like put their arm around each other and, you know, were like... Yeah. You're Boys. A piece of shit. You're a piece of shit, too. Like, fuck
but,
you.
But good job being a piece of shit to me today.
Yeah. That's always the best thing, though, is when you watch those games and they're both being dickheads to each other. But then one guy... Like, I will say about Haaland, he's never like, hey, cut that shit out. You're being a prick. He's just a prick. Yeah. And, like, if people are a prick back, he just laughs. And he's like, yep, okay, that's what we're going to do. Gabriel was in his face the whole time just like... Don't do that shit again. And Colin's like, I'm going to do it again.
Like, you already know what it is.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
I do think that the subs that you mentioned, though, like Doku, I thought Grealish was actually fine. Again, with Doku, it's always just the last mile, as you said. It gets to the best place. I just don't
Last pass. I think last mile is probably not the best way to describe it. It is like, all right, you got us to this position. Fucking sit. Like, let's take a screenshot. This is where I want you to get to. Now what? and evidence of him, I think, having a shot somewhere near the box and it going out for a throw-in was a tough, that was a tough look for us.
That was a tough one, for sure, for sure. But yes, this game sucked. It was boring. I can't imagine. Actually, I can in a different way, because the 0-0 at home against United was like depressing. But like this was like, it wasn't even. You didn't even see any moments of like fun. Like, it was just sad.
Morgan and Alexis, your girlfriend, my wife, were watching with us. Obviously, I did apologize like 10 minutes into the second half and said, "Sorry, guys, we could have sat out back and watched the paint dry, and probably would have been more entertained." Like, it was bad. I don't think you're going to remember to ask me this, so I'm going to go ahead and divulge this information. This game against Villa is hugely important. I don't think just a win is good enough. I think we have to actually show that, hey, there's something to build on here. But I don't feel confident for four in a row at all. I'm actually thinking that maybe the substituting and lack thereof with Pep in this one is, all right, let's go win a Champions League. I don't know. I don't know, dude. So
yeah. That's the other thing, too. Like, because you had said, I was talking about the run-in and how it's so big that if you guys beat Real, which you could also lose that game because they're very good, and if Arsenal beat Bayern, which I have to imagine also, I've watched a number of Bayern games this year, that could be even more boring than this one.
yeah, for sure.
But if you guys have to play each other two legs, you don't see you guys losing to them over two legs. Do you still feel like that? Because
I do. I mean, I would
put my money still with you guys as well. Yes. Just one, experience in that position, and two, like, I just sometimes don't know. I don't know how you guys play either, but sometimes I just don't know how Arsenal play, at opposed to being the best out of possession team in the world is the shit I'm seeing now, which is just like.
Sick.
Sean Dyche did that shit at Burnley, and no one cared.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I'm just letting you know.
It's crazy to say this because this is an Arsenal team that, what, outscored their last four opponents by 29 goals or some shit. I think over two legs we're going to be tough to beat outside of Real. I think that, in my mind, is Champions League final until the final, because a one-leg match is like, did you show up today or not? Like, and then we saw that last year with Milan, because I do think we're a better team than Inter Milan. But I feel like I have to trust Pep more than I trust Arteta on taking a risk and taking a chance and being able to create something. Whereas I do think, to your point just now, like, I think Arteta is very militant and can put together a defensive unit to not concede. I think it's going to be a struggle. At no point really 2 days ago or yesterday, whenever this was, I think they were going to score.
That's the thing where, you know, Kovacic turned the ball over a couple times.
That's the only time.
And I was like, okay, well, counter right here or whatever, right? But again, like, I know they have the most goals in the Prem. I understand that. Again, I don't want people to be mad at me. I get it. But in open play sometimes, they don't even get a shot on goal, or on target or off target. Sometimes they get a turnover and then try to make a pass or try to overpass and lose the ball because they don't have those pathways and stuff figured out yet. So it's just not as clear cut.
The best way to describe it is if they would have scored yesterday, it was because we made a mistake, not because they created anything.
Yeah, I kind of agree for sure.
Anyway, I think it's Liverpool's to lose in my mind right now, which I know you don't want to hear me say, but I think it is.
For sure.
Yeah, I do think that you guys are set up pretty nicely. And if I'm being honest and being a gracious older brother, kind of a cool story for Klopp. So.
Yeah, it would be sick, obviously, to win. Nothing's sicker. But to get him another one, just not one, would be more than sick.
Yeah. It would be. All right, let's get into predictions. We got midweek games coming up. Michael, let's give people an update on the standings. You're still well ahead, sitting at 164 and 129. You did go 4-6 last week. I was 5-5 at 154 and 139. Nick, I think, is in third. He is 153 and 140. And then Dylan sitting in fourth, 142 and 151. Midweek games, they're going to be tough. We're going to lead us off with Newcastle hosting Everton. Who you got in this?
I got Newcastle because I needed them to draw against West Ham, and then they just told me to like suck it straight up live on TV and ended up beating them. And Everton are not very good. So I think it's a no-brainer. And I think Newcastle have enough, even with the injuries, even with the people out, to get the job done.
Yeah, you and I are big on Newcastle not being deep enough to be consistently in games or winning them right now, but I think how bad Everton are kind of supersedes that. Forest are going to host Fulham. Fulham scored 6 goals in the past 2 matches, and I think that's enough to win. So, I got Fulham.
Scored 6 goals in the past 2. Yes, this. So I took Forest last week over Palace, with the idea that they were going to kind of fight a little bit. I don't see Fulham being bad twice in a row. So I did have Forest with that same mindset, but I think I have to go against it. I think I have to go Fulham as well.
Yeah. Bournemouth hosting Palace. Bournemouth's a better team than Palace.
Yes, Bournemouth. I might go cherries the rest of the year. I just like them that much.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Burnley's going to host Wolves. Dylan, shout out to you. I think the Wolves get a dub here. Continue to pursue top 10. What about yourself?
JJ Watt on the sidelines for this game.
Ooh. Yeah,
he's the caretaker manager. If Twitter is... He posted it, so I don't know. I'm sure he's fucking around. But
I mean, it is April 1st, Michael.
Oh, dude. I'm sorry. The plane ride, all that stuff. Also, don't you have to pay a fine if you did that? Because he doesn't have like his coaching credentials or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. I got Wolves. JJ Watt could literally be playing. They could be a 12th man. They're not going to be Wolves. So.
Yeah. West Ham hosts Tottenham. Who you got?
Spurs. West Ham blew it. I got Spurs. Just think they're better.
I got Spurs too. If this is any other result, guess who's not shocked?
Me. Both of us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Arsenal's going to host Luton. It'd be nice if the Hatters could pull one out, but I got Arsenal.
Yeah, I got Arsenal too. No chance.
Brentford hosting Brighton.
Hold on. I just also want to say, because I forgot to do it, I want to shout Luton out. I think they're on a like X amount of game in a row scoring streak. So like that's sick.
Yeah. They're
probably going to lose this game. Would be dope, obviously, if you beat them or got a draw even. But I just want to shout you out because, you know, you're really putting it to them this year, guys. And I know you're in 18th, but like I'm fighting for you so bad right now.
Yeah. If we lose Nottingham Forest or Everton or whomever, it's okay in my book if we get to keep you, is what I'm saying.
Yes, please.
Brentford hosting Brighton.
I got the bees.
I know. I got a draw. Probably.
That's probably actually the better pick.
Yeah, who knows? Who's to say? City, they're going to host Villa. I got to take City because I need my season to continue. So.
Yeah, I do think if you guys lose this, like lose it, it's over.
I think we draw it, it's over.
I don't think if you draw it, it's over. Because I think we're going to draw a game or two, and I think Arsenal will as well.
Yeah. Liverpool hosting Sheffield?
God. It would be really bad if this was one of them, but I have us.
The return of Chris Wilder. Kind of insane that Sheffield United have given up 77 goals this year. Minus 50 goal differential.
This is actually the game, though, that... It has, because I think Luton will play, I mean, incoming like 5-0. I think Luton will play like Arsenal fairly tight because they're just scrappy. You get a couple goals up on Sheffield United, I just think they kind of fall apart. This is where we have to make up some goal difference because that would be nice.
Valid point. And then the piece de resistance for the week. The game that we just wish they would fill or surround the stadium with a wall and fill it with water. Chelsea versus Man United at Chelsea.
I can't. I actually might.
I can't
abstain.
Pick. I can't fathom.
I
picking.
Might abstain from picking this game and just take a loss because I can't. like, I guess I have to just go tie. Like, it has to be a draw. I don't know. I can't pick Chelsea at home, can you?
I got Cole Palmer. One goal, 1-0 win. I don't know.
I'll go Chelsea, too.
I got Chelsea.
Because even sometimes I watch Chelsea and I see positives.
Like, God, fourth, so hard. Fourth in so the disgusting. Table? Fourth in the table positives?
No, like sixth, maybe. Okay. Sixth, seventh. I even looked at them, their stats directly compared to Brighton, and Brighton is just better, and they're ninth.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? That shit made me so mad on the plane, bro. I was furious.
Pochettino, the expert spin zone man. All right.
I got Chelsea, just in case no one heard. I would take them.
Predictions done and dusted. You got a joke?
No. If anyone could see me anytime I've ever been to New York, that is the joke.
Michael, talk about shooting well from the field. If you want to go out and drink in New York with Michael, there's a good chance he ends up hugging a toilet by the end of the night.
Blacked out.
Yeah.
I will say, when I woke up that morning, like the Sunday morning, and I talked to you guys, there was a part of me that was like, I don't want to hear what I did. And after, I was like, okay. Like,
not as bad.
Yeah, I was like, I was worried that I, you know, was like saying stuff to people in public or whatever. And they got me home like 8:50, 9 o'clock. Yep. And then they just were like, you need to live in that bathroom. And I said, got it. I'm there.
Radio. I mean, that was, what was that, Saturday night?
Yeah.
And then Thursday night was the concert, the Zach Bryan concert that we all went to. Michael and I were beat up that night too, so much so that we were convinced he didn't play a certain song. And then later on in the weekend, video evidence was bubbled up from our own phones that we videotaped ourselves singing the song in question. Yeah. So
we'll put it at the end of the, no joke, we'll put that at the end of the pod.
There it is. Perfect. Like, subscribe, share. This has been the NAFTA podcast. You got Michael, you got John. Until next time, thanks for listening.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.